Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and this is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. This afternoon, we're live from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios at the UW-Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement in Wausau, where a Take Back the Night rally and march is just getting underway. The event, like other Take Back the Night rallies, shines a spotlight on the all-too-common and often unreported crime of sexual assault, giving a voice to those who have been the victims of violence and abuse. Here at the Center for Civic Engagement, there will be a candlelight vigil, a march through the streets, family strengthening activities, musical and dance performances, and free food. Our guest today, Lacey Taylor, the UW Marathon County student who organized tonight's rally. Also with us today, Jane Graham Jennings, the executive director of the Women's Community of Wausau, which provides shelter and a haven for women who have been the victims of assault and domestic violence. And tonight's keynote speaker is with us. Best-selling author Sandra Kring, whose Random House published books include titles like Carry Me Home, Thank You for All Things, The Book of Bright Ideas, and How High the Moon. Sandra was the victim of an abusive childhood, and she has coordinated support groups for the survivors of assault, violence, and abuse in a number of Northwoods communities. The event is just getting underway here at the Center for Civic Engagement, and you are welcome to attend, or if you'd like to join the conversation, if you've got a story that you'd like to share with us, or a comment, our lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And a little historical perspective, the first Take Back the Night event in the United States happened in Philadelphia in October of 1975 after the murder of a young microbiologist, Susan Alexander Spieth, who was stabbed by a stranger a block from her home while walking alone. The first worldwide Take Back the Night occurred at the International Tribunal on Crimes Against Women in Brussels, Belgium. In March of 1976, that event attracted 2,000 participants, and Take Back the Night rallies have spread all across the globe since then, including here in Wausau at UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement. Lacey Taylor, let's start with you, and what led you to organize tonight's rally?
I organized tonight's rally because there was, in the newspaper, incidents of child abuse and sexual child abuse that had happened, and I thought, being in the student government, I had an opportunity to do something about that.
And tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in the issue.
Well, I'm a daughter of a survivor, and when I was trying to come up with ideas of what we could do to raise awareness, I remember Take Back the Night rallies from when I was a child, and it was very powerful and moving, so much so that I decided to do it myself.
You mentioned that you're the daughter of a survivor. Can you share any of that with us?
Yes, my family is riddled with sexual abuse, and my mother had decided to get help for herself when she became fell into alcoholism very badly and drugs. So when she went through treatment, she also went through years of therapy for the sexual child abuse that she had And so,
And she took you to a rally when you were younger, and that led you to want to do that. How did that affect your mother's life, if you can share any of that with us?
It affected pretty badly. She got into drugs and alcohol at a very young age and ran away from home. But the great thing was when she did sober up, she got in touch with the women's community in Duluth, and I grew up in a wonderful atmosphere of just powerful healing and women's empowerment and Take Back the Night. It was a great atmosphere to be raised in.
How common do you think a crime like this is in a community like Wausau or on a campus like the one here at UW-Marathon County? How often does sexual assault occur, and how often does it just get swept under the rugs?
Especially with younger people, it occurs quite often, a lot with drinking. Females just don't realize that when they are drunk and a male starts overtaking them, that it is sexual assault. They tend to think, well, I was drunk, and so I kind of let him. And that's why we like to raise awareness with the college students.
Jane Graham Jennings, the same question. How common is a crime like this in a community like Wausau or on a campus like the one here at UW-Marathon County?
Unfortunately, it's far more common than people would ever like to know. Sexual violence is the most underreported crime that we know from the national FBI statistics. It's estimated 2/3 of sexual assaults go unreported and people don't talk about it. And it's especially common in like the college age area. So that is something where Take Back the Night rallies occur because it's common in those settings. And as Lacey mentioned, with alcohol is often a contributing factor and can leave people in situations that they otherwise wouldn't be in. And alcohol actually is often used as a form of intoxicant by a predator, a perpetrator. They use alcohol to get someone drunk so they can take advantage of them.
Tell us how often, we heard Lacey's story about how that affected her mother. Is that a common story where victims of sexual abuse, sexual assault, it'll end up screwing up their entire lives?
It's really common. Certainly there is survival. There are millions of adults who have survived childhood sexual abuse, but it takes a long time, and there are a lot of factors that are contributing factors of how one's healing goes. But certainly when people are violated as children, in particular boys and girls, their life takes different paths. They often find themselves in a situation, as Lacey described with her mother, with alcohol and or drug abuse. They really have a sense of worthlessness that was instilled, and they believe it was their fault. Even in their little child, they think that they did something to deserve it, and that happens quite frequently.
And Lacey mentioned that her mother found some solace and some security at a women's community shelter, not in Wausau but elsewhere. Tell us about the women's community in Wausau and the role it plays.
We will provide services to anyone who is a victim of domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. Our sexual assault services include emotional support, listening to someone. Oftentimes what happens is someone hides this secret and they carry it with them for a really long time, and they can't figure out why their life isn't quite normal. And when they release that, speaking about it, getting it out, that's why Speak Out and Take Back the Night rallies can be very valuable and healing experiences for survivors, because they're able to put that voice out there and start to alleviate some of the shame that they're feeling about it. So we provide that service. We also provide 24-hour response to sexual assault victims that report to emergency departments. So we can go meet them at the emergency department when they're having a rape kit done, which is for forensic evidence if they decide to report the crime. So we provide 24-hour access and service to anyone. We offer support groups for survivors. We offer support groups for children. And we work very closely with the Child Advocacy Center of North Central Wisconsin that is specifically for children who have been sexually or physically abused so that they can get reporting done.
There's a big need for your services here in Wausau and Marathon County?
Unfortunately, there is. In our sexual assault program alone last year, we served over 600 adults, men, women, and children who are affected by sexual violence.
And you're in the process of a capital campaign in which you're trying to build a new shelter. Tell us about that.
Sure. We have kicked off the campaign, and we are in the process of moving forward with construction. We are waiting still for two last-minute contributors, and even if those don't come through for us, we will be wrapping up the campaign this summer and start breaking ground.
How many beds at the new facility?
We currently can house 28, and we will increase our capacity to 40.
You've got your own rally taking place this Saturday I believe it's the Oak Island Boat Landing in Wausau. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's a third annual Steps Against Violence. That is a fundraiser for to help us with our capital campaign project. And it is a walk run, a 5K walk or run, or a 10K run. It's $25. You can register the day of the event. If you come to Oak Island in Wausau, all the proceeds go to support the women's community taking steps against violence.
And while we're giving you some free publicity, if people want to donate to this capital campaign or give you some money to help with your operating costs, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, www.womenscommunity.org, and all the information is there.
Are the number of incidents, do you think, are they increasing, decreasing, or has it pretty much been the same all through history?
It's really one of the things that's hard to quantify because it is so underreported. For our services and the people that we know who come tell us what's happening to them, our numbers continue to increase. We still need to raise awareness significantly. It is very difficult for survivors to talk about what happened to them, and there's still a tremendous amount of shame that is put onto victims when they do disclose. People look at them differently, and they feel different about themselves. When cases do go to court, if they are prosecuted, we often find jurors that will find defendants not guilty because they can't believe that they would do something like that. So we have to do a lot of education so that people understand this is a common crime. Perpetrators are preying on vulnerable adults and children. That's how they get their prey. And if we don't talk about it, it continues. Silence is a perpetrator's best friend.
Henry David Thoreau once said that in order for communication to take place, and I'm paraphrasing here, you need someone who can tell a story and someone who can listen. You need someone who can speak out, and you need somebody who's willing to listen. Sandra Kring, you're one of those people who's been willing to speak out. You're a best-selling author. You've written four critically acclaimed novels. You've got a big publisher, Random House. And yet, you're not hesitant at all to talk about the abuse that you suffered growing up.
Not at all. However, when I sold my first book back in 2003, and if someone had suggested to me that I would be doing an event like this, volunteering to do it, to talk about my history, I wouldn't have believed it, because I believed at that time I was putting my past behind me. I was starting a new chapter in my life, and since then, I've realized that just as I couldn't rip out five or six chapters out of my book and have my story make sense, I can't do that out of my life either. It's a part of my history. It's a part of my past. And it's part of, it's a part that got me where I am today.
Tell us about that.
Well,
Where did you grow up, first of all?
I grew up in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. I was born to a mother who had, she was severely mentally ill. She was extremely violent, and especially towards me. My first memory of her was having her step on my head as I laid on the floor, and I was extremely young. I remember climbing and hiding behind a chair. She had a lot of rage in her and struck without warning. And so, she chased us with knives. She did a lot of horrible things that would probably end up in a Stephen King book, you know.
Yeah.
So, and so I grew up with post-traumatic stress disorder. I had that, I'm sure, by the time I was a child. By the time I was an adult, I was sleeping fully clothed because, and with my shoes on, glasses on, because I couldn't get rid of that feeling that I might have to run in the night. I was prone to a lot of anxiety, a lot of floor pacing, and didn't understand why, because that house was normal for me. My siblings and I made jokes about it. In fact, we minimized it to that degree because it was normal for us, and yet it was so crazy that we used a lot of humor to cope. So by the time I became a mother, things got worse in the way that I could not get rid of the feeling that my children were in danger. I became an overprotective mother, which a lot of violence survivors, you know, they do that. They act out that way.
Were you working at the time? Were you writing books at the time?
No, I wasn't. No. I was a full-time mother because I didn't trust anyone to watch my children. Aside from that, I also had very low self-esteem. I thought I was too stupid to get a job because I had dumb just literally beaten into me. And I believed that. So I made my whole life about taking care of others, which is something that survivors of abuse do all the time. They make themselves responsible for everybody else's behavior, for everyone else's happiness and safety. And that's what I did for a long time until I got some help.
And how did you make the transition? How did you clean up at least some of these problems? I imagine some of them never go away. But here you are, a successful mm-hmm. author. You're well-respected. Your books are well-reviewed.
And most importantly, I'm comfortable in my own skin, and I don't apologize anymore for the very breath I take, you know, which at one time would have seemed like I should save that for someone else. it was a long process. It took a lot of years, and there's a lot of things that made a difference in my life, but I did a lot of therapy, which is totally necessary. I needed some guidance. I needed, you know, to understand what had happened to me, how I coped. I needed the mind, body, spirit healing. And that took a lot of years. It took a lot of people and a lot of different circumstances. But eventually, it was actually a quote by James Hillman that really made a difference in my life.
What was the quote?
The quote was, "To heal the person, we must first heal the story they imagine themselves to be in." By that time, I was an avid reader. I read about 5-6 books of fiction a week, and I started looking at my story like a novel. And I realized I had everything that a good novel has in the beginning. You know, you have someone who has adversity to overcome. You have someone who, you know, who basically suffered. There's no other way to say it. I suffered. And yet I looked at my life story and I thought, if I was writing this as a work of fiction, what would I do? What would I have happened to make this a successful story? What a triumph. And I put together every gift I had, you know, along the way, all the things I learned, the imagination, the humor.
So you kind of recreated yourself the way you'd be creating a character?
Yes, I did. I did, yes. And I took
How old were you when that was happening?
Oh, gosh. I was in my 30s, in my late 30s. I had no clue how to write. I was a very poor student because I couldn't concentrate in class. My post-traumatic stress disorder was that bad. School meant nothing to me. I mean, from the time I was little, it was, how do you concentrate in a classroom when you worry about if your little brothers will be alive when you get home? It was like that. So I just didn't care about school. It was irrelevant in my life. My life was about, living, worrying about if I was going to live another day.
And by recreating yourself, turning yourself into a character in an imaginary mm-hmm. novel, did that kind of give you, the strength to write your own novels?
It did. It did. Well, by that time, I realized that I had believed a lot of things that weren't true. In many ways, my story was already like a piece of fiction. I wasn't dumb. I wasn't worthless. I could amount to something. So if I had those lies, I thought, you know, I can rewrite my life, at least the last half of my life. And I decided that one way or another, I was going to make the second half of my life every bit as joyful as the beginning was painful. And that's what I did.
Sandra Kring, her books have these titles, Carry Me Home, Thank You for All Things, The Book of Bright Ideas, and How High the Moon was the book that you just wrote last
yes.
year.
Mm-hmm.
You have something on tap?
I do. It won't be out until February, but I wrote a sequel to the second book, The Book of Bright Ideas, which does deal with a character who was sexually abused and how that played out in her life and the life of her daughters.
Sandra Kring is the keynote speaker at the Take Back the Night rally that's happening right now on the UW Marathon County campus here at the Center for Civic Engagement, where our Wisconsin Public Radio studio is located. She is here with Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community and also Lacey Taylor, the UW Marathon County student who organized the rally. The only people missing are you. You've still got time to get to the rally, or if you'd like to join us by phone, maybe you've got a story you'd like to share with us. Maybe this is striking a chord. Maybe you know somebody in your life who's had similar experiences. Maybe you'd like to reach out to somebody and you don't know how to do it. 1-800-780-9742 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Those studios at the Center for Civic Engagement, where the Take Back the Night rally is just getting underway. Lacey Taylor, if there's still time for people to show up here, the events really don't get percolating until 6 o'clock. What will people find if they come to the rally this evening?
If they come to the rally, they will find wonderful performers, wonderful keynote speaker. They'll find food. There's art displays. There's information. Lots of wonderful people here. And the march, March will be a really good time.
And you've got T-shirts out there, and we've got a lot of people outside right now. You know, this is really something. You're pulling this off, kid.
Thanks.
tell us about some of the musical performers.
We have Rachel Kilgore. She's from Duluth. She donates half of her proceeds to a local charity, and she does acoustic music, good, wonderful woman's acoustic music. And then we have Sing for Peanuts by Lisa Akey, and she is local. So
I know Lisa. She's got a voice like an angel. She's just a wonderful singer.
Great.
And you've got a candlelight vigil this evening, and you've got a march, and you've got free food.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's all happening at the Center for Civic Engagement, the Take Back the Night rally. Jane Graham Jennings, how important are events like this to getting the message out about sexual assault?
It's really important any time we can get people together and rise together against this silent epidemic. Again, speaking out is something that's really important in healing for many, many survivors, because they carry such shame and burden with them for so long, and giving voice to that and knowing that they're in a room or in an environment with people who support them and don't blame them, that they can start to remove some of that shame and start to feel and recognize that they do have value and they do have worth.
Take Back the Night rally. It's happening at the Center for Civic Engagement. That and the problems of sexual assault and domestic violence, those are the subjects on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community. Also, best-selling author Sandra Kring, who is the keynote speaker, and Lacey Taylor, the young lady who has organized this event. She is a UW Marathon County student. And I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our lines are wide open. I know this is difficult to talk about, but you may be able to get through to somebody about a problem you've got or a problem they've got. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to share your story, we'll be back after this news. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg, and this is a special show today. We're broadcasting, as we usually do, from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios at the Center for Civic Engagement, UW Marathon County in Wausau. But we've got a rally going on here at the same time as this radio show. It's the Take Back the Night rally, drawing attention to the problems of sexual abuse, sexual assault, domestic violence, and we've got dozens of people outside, maybe over 100 by now, and we've got more coming all the time. Things will really get going here at about 6 o'clock, and there's still room for you. There's singers and speakers. One of them is with us today, Sandra Kring, who is a best-selling author who had an abusive childhood and later ran support groups for the victims of abuse. Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community is with us, and Lacey Taylor, the UW Marathon County student who organized the rally, and we would like to hear from you. I know it's difficult to talk about this subject, but if you've got a story that you'd like to share with us, or perhaps some question about how you can reach out to somebody in your life who may have problems with a childhood abuse situation and they can't get through it, we've got people here who can help you out. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jane Graham Jennings, it is difficult sometimes for people to come forward and talk about what's happened to them.
It really can be. Our society kind of really wants to not know that this happens and not talk about it, and victims often feel shrouded in shame. And oftentimes when they do come forward and they tell someone about it, they're frequently not believed. And that is true for a lot of people, whether they are not believed by their parents if they're a child, or they're not believed by their friends if they're a student, or if they report it to the police, they're not believed. So we really need to find ways that we can create environments where victims can come forward without shame and feel safe telling what happened to them. It's not their fault ever.
Sandra Kring, you ran support groups for people in Price County and elsewhere in the Northwoods. Tell us about that experience.
I was asked to do that once I, healed enough that I had something to offer. Most of the women who came were referred by social workers and therapists. I did that for 6 years. And I remember
What made you think that you had the ability to do that? You had an abusive childhood yourself.
Yes, I did.
But you don't have a medical background
or
a background in psychiatry.
No, and I was doing it as a layperson. I questioned that in the beginning, too, when I was asked. However, I had participated in many things, and survivors themselves asked me to do it. I had a lot of success, actually. I think, you know, I learned by doing it myself because although I got a lot of help, I had to learn myself. And, you know, in many ways, I had to learn. I was self-taught. And I guess I just had something to offer. It worked for the women. You know, it was an environment to talk in. It was to share in.
And people could probably relate to you because of your own experience.
Yes.
What's the common thread that goes through all of these victims that you dealt with? Is there a common thread,
Yes, there is. Mostly the shame. The shame. And the fear. They have so much fear, just like I had once. Fear that someone's going to hurt you. Fear that you have no control over your life. A lot of issues with their bodies, shame, self-hatred. The hatred was tremendous. And always feeling like they owe, like they have to pay for everything they get. And I think in many ways that's why the groups that I ran were successful. I did it as a volunteer, and I let them know right off the bat that you will never owe me a thing. You know, and that seemed to mean more to them than maybe you know, what else I gave them. It was their first experience of not having to pay for something they got or for someone to care.
Lacey, did your mother ever go through support groups? Did she find some of the help that she needed growing up from an abusive background?
Yes, she found a lot of support with the women's community, like I had said before, and through therapy, and there was external groups where they would get together, and even just women who were friends and who were survivors commonly got together. And I grew up with these women, knowing them as strong women who helped all of us children to learn about the bad things that can happen with sexual abuse. And it was a great environment because of them. I was never abused as a child, so.
And Lacey, we are broadcasting live from this rally that you helped organize, the Take Back the Night rally here at the Center for Civic Engagement. And you have brought some of the participants into our studio with us. Let's. Why don't you introduce some of these folks for us?
Wonderful. We have Rachel Kilgore. She is our musician. She's going to be performing at...
In 20 minutes
at 6 o'clock.
Well, Rachel, you probably have to get in for a sound check. Why don't you step up to the microphone here?
Sure.
And give me an idea of your background as a songwriter.
Sure. I'm from Duluth, Minnesota, and I do a lot of writing about social issues, including this one. And I don't know. I feel like, particularly with this issue, I feel like we spend a lot of time teaching our girls how to protect themselves, our girls and young women, and I think that we should be spending more energy and more government money and also, you know, raising healthy boys. And I'm going to sing a little bit of a song of mine that kind of deals with that, and I feel like, you know, it's not just up to the women who are abused to end the cycle of abuse. It's up to us to stop it.
Rachel Kilgore, who's performing this evening at the Take Back the Night rally.
Did he pull her hair and bring her to the ground? Or would she fight back? Did she make a sound? And when it was over and done, would she always come back around? Back for more till she hit the floor that brings her down. Or paint the sky. Cause there is nothing left for you to hold on to. All for one and all alone. Where will you go? Oh, and of course,
There's no resources for a lost boy on his own, 'cause we couldn't help him as a baby. How could we help him now? He's lazy and he thinks he's right, and he thinks a fight is gonna give him all that he needs. Oh, but who's to blame? Who's to blame for the boys playing the warrior game? Who's to blame? Who's to blame for the boys playing the warrior game? All that you learned from your ma and pa, it's gonna pave your way. Your future is looking bright as a dark and cloudy day. And you'll know just how to love, how to make her wanna stay. You give her a kiss and start throwing fists. Well, it's the only way.
Beautiful. Rachel Kilgore. Rachel, what's the name of that?
It's called Warrior Games.
Warrior Games? She is performing in about 20 minutes here at the Center for Civic Engagement. Rachel, we'll let you do your sound check. And this is a free rally, and there's room in the theater for you. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rachel Kilgore, and we're going to talk to some of the other young people who are involved in the Take Back the Night March and Rally tonight here at UW Marathon County. If you want to step up to the microphone, what's your name?
My name is Miles Dukes.
And Miles, where are you from?
I'm from here in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Why are you participating tonight?
I'm here just to kind of raise the awareness on domestic violence and sexual abuse and, you know, try to help out with the problems that are there.
Why do you think it's an important topic?
Well, it's a definitely important topic because it affects a lot of different people around the nation.
And here in Wausau, have you talked to people in Wausau who have been affected by it?
Yeah, I have heard of a few people, not to name any, but it has been happening.
Friends of yours?
Yes, actually, some friends of mine.
How does it affect them? You know, without getting into specific names, specific people, generally, how does this affect them?
I'm not exactly sure. That's something they'd probably be a lot better at answering, being that I haven't been through a similar situation. But I would imagine that they just, you know, feel the shame as a common thread among them. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and thanks for participating and sharing your reasons for being at this rally this evening.
Thank you.
And up next at the microphone we have...
I am Nancy Tabaka-Stencil.
And Nancy, your reason for participating today?
Well, I've been with Women's Community for many years, currently as an advocate in sexual assault. If you are assaulted and the hospital calls the Women's Community, they call one of us, and I'm one of the faces that you could see up there.
How long have you been doing this? Several years, correct?
At least 20 years.
20 years. What's the common thread you see among the victims?
Fear. The fear, probably more than anything, that you're not going to be believed.
And do you believe that that keeps many people from speaking out, maybe even reporting these crimes?
Yes, I do.
Can you share with us just one story that you can think of, one person who might have been helped by the Women's Community that would have had problems if that facility wasn't there?
They're too numerous to even mention one.
And you think events like this are important to help people?
Yes, it is.
Step forward and speak out.
Yes.
Jane, how many people like Nancy are with you right now working? I'm sure you're understaffed for the needs that you have.
In total, we have 28 full and part-time employees, and we have a volunteer force of about 10 who are the on-call advocates like Nancy that respond to the after-hours emergency response when a sexual assault victim goes to an emergency department. So we have a number of volunteers that help us with that, and then we have staff that also respond.
You know, Nancy, it's got to be a lot like being a cop in some respects, because you are being called out in the middle of the night to meet with and talk to people who have been through terrible things. How are you able to do that emotionally and do it day after day after day for 20 years?
Well, because there's people out there that need you. You know, I guess you don't really think about it. You just know that people need you. And it's so important in this community.
Nancy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Also, at the Take Back the Night rally, we have...
My name is Matthew Bauman.
And Matthew, where are you from?
I'm from Schofield.
Why are you participating in this march tonight?
Well, about 3 months ago, there was an email sent out to students basically saying, does anyone want to do a reading at the Take Back the Night rally? And I said, sure, I'd love to do a reading. And some faculty and some students helped me find some poems, and so I'm going to be reading those tonight. And when I started to get more involved in the club, I realized what an awesome event this was going to be, and it's been a great experience helping out.
Are you a writer?
Aspiring, yes.
An aspiring writer.
Yes, an aspiring writer.
What are you reading this evening?
I am reading four pieces of poetry. One of them is by Sharon Olds, another is by Lucille Clifton, Marie Howey, and the name of the fourth one escapes me.
And what's the theme running through those readings?
Basically, I think two are about child abuse. Another one is about sort of the death of a woman who was abused. And I think the final one is basically just about, it's a larger subject of just domestic violence.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing with us. And next we have...
Emily.
And why are you participating in the Take Back the Night rally?
Because I think it's just such an important event. Raising awareness for any horrific thing is an important thing. You know, the more awareness that people can get, the better, you know, places you can go for help, people you can go to, connect to, just, you know, that you're not alone.
Do you have any personal experience with the subject, or do you know somebody who has?
I know a handful of people, yes.
And how has it affected their lives?
Some of them, you know, one of them is a parent of mine, and it was actually my father went through it, and so he has struggled still to this day. You know, it's still hard for him. And there are friends of mine that just, you know, it's hard for them to function in their everyday life even. You know, they make it through, but on the inside, they're not making it through. So, you know, it's just hard.
Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah.
And finally, we have...
My name is Erin Riddle, and I'm from Rhinelander. I'm here because what happened to me, I was raped several years ago and resorted in a child. And I'm here to raise awareness that hopefully this won't happen to other people. And if it does, for them to know that there are people out there that will listen and that are there for them.
Did you report the rape when it occurred?
I did, and I was assigned an advocate, and they helped me through a lot of different things.
So people who have this experience, who are raped, and you were made pregnant.
Right.
You've got a place you can turn, and people will not turn their backs on you. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Right. There's a lot of people out there who think that this only happens to them, and it's not. So for the people that, if this has happened to you, that know that there is help out there, that there are people that will listen.
Anything you'd like to add?
Just know that there's always help. You're not alone.
Thanks so much. Just some of the people who are participating in tonight's Take Back the Night rally at the Center for Civic Engagement. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, proud to partner with Focus on Energy in converting the sun's energy into green electricity with photovoltaic systems for business and agriculture. Learn more at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. And we have with us some of the organizers and participants at this evening's Take Back the Night rally, which is happening here at the Center for Civic Engagement at UW-Marathon County. Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community, also author Sandra Kring, and Lacey Taylor, who helped organize the event. And we also have with us... Gwen in Wausau, who's on the phone, and let me take her phone call now. Gwen, you're on Route 51.
Hi. Very interesting program, and I deal with some daughters that were also molested, and it's absolutely horrendous, and I don't think any of them have really found any help.
Jane, would you like to ask Gwen some questions? You're probably better at this than I am.
Well, Gwen, you know, people who are abused themselves, sometimes they're not ready for the help, even though you might be seeing that they're struggling and you wish differently for them. But I also say to parents and loved ones of people who are survivors, you need help yourself. You know, sometimes being a parent, parents that we work with have an awful lot of guilt and they feel like, you know, there could have been something that they have done. So if you're feeling any of those experiences, certainly feel free to call the women's community. We can help you with that. And sometimes it's really hard to watch your loved ones when they're not quite ready to deal with the things that you know are going on. And so maybe your daughters just aren't at that place yet.
Maybe.
Gwen, do you have anything you'd like to add, anything you'd like to share with us?
It's just horrendous. The whole situation is always, you know, just on edge. And they're older now, so I don't know. Like she said, you know, maybe there is nothing unless you really want it to, you know, help.
And Sandra, maybe you've got something that you can share with us.
Well, I was just going to mention to your caller that just as Jane said, maybe they're not ready. I think you have to get quite a distance away from that abuse before you can turn around and look at what happened to you. You need a certain amount of maturity. You need a certain amount of support. When the time is ready, they'll be ready. Just keep on loving them and reminding them that it wasn't their fault.
They continue to get into abusive relationships.
Yes.
Alcohol, you name it. You know, and it's just.
And that's really hard to watch for people that you love making choices you wish they would make different choices.
Gwen, thanks so much for the phone call. God bless you and good luck.
All righty.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
What is the cause of this kind of behavior, and why can't we get past it? Are traditional cultural stereotypes of women as subservient and traditional male roles of men as the aggressor, is that in any way to blame for this? Or is that too simplistic?
I think that's a big part of it. Violence, interpersonal violence is so vast and many causes of it. So when we're looking at situations, for example, what Sandra talks about, when you have a parent who uses violence and abuse to control their children, is a little bit different factor than when we're talking about relationships and marriages that are violent. There's some different issues going on there versus the sexual assault that we're talking about. So there are a variety of things that happen, but certainly there is a kind of a running theme that when we don't give men permission to ask for help and we don't give men permission to be emotional and kind of the gender roles that we still prescribe to in our culture, it does lend itself to the issues that we're fighting against.
How do you fix men who are abusers, or is the best we can do to lock them up?
It's always a choice. That's the thing about violence. It's a choice. And people who use violence, men or women using violence, they choose to do that. Sometimes it's a learned behavior, and what we know from people who provide treatment to abusers, many of them had experienced or witnessed violence when they were growing up, but it's not a destiny because we work and know many people who are kids that grew up in violent homes, but they take a different path. They take a path that they say, I know how much this hurt me, and I'm not going to continue this behavior. So it's always a choice, and that's what we have to remember. We have to hold perpetrators accountable, recognizing that the only thing that's going to make them change is if they change. They always have a choice to do that. So until they are willing to do that and until we make a culture and a society that there is we give them a reason to change. Right now, they don't have a reason to. It works for them, and it gets supported in strange ways in our society. There's no reason for them to be different, so we need to have different reasons.
Is there a problem in our society with having separated or divorced sex from long-term commitment, sex from love, sex from just a basic respect for the other human being as somebody who's deserving of respect and dignity?
Well, kind of our culture. We don't like to talk about good sex. We don't like to talk about one of the most beautiful experiences that can happen between two human beings. We try to keep that under the rugs and say we can't discuss it. So let alone creating a space where people can talk about the most horrific, intrusive, life-altering thing that has happened to them. So we have to find a place where we can create an avenue to discuss sex that includes responsibility, because with those choice of being sexually active, there's responsibility with that. So we have to take that and discuss it.
Jane Graham Jennings, the Executive Director of the Women's Community, also with us, Sandra Kring, the keynote speaker and author and an abuse victim herself, and Lacey Taylor, the UW Marathon County student who organized this evening's Take Back the Night rally. Still time for you to get here. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to Rick Ryer, our executive producer, and our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Jake Clotty. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. That's it. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.